Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Dynamo Abroad, when we talk about everything and anything Dynamo Kyiv related. I'm your host, Komar, and with me today are my good friend from the sunny Southampton, United Kingdom, Dima. How are you, Dima?
Sunny is the wrong word, but we did have a very big fire today, so it was kind of bright. But yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
And yeah, this time the roles are reversed, but across the pond from the mighty Torontistan, we welcome Andriy. How
How
are you, Andriy?
are you guys?
Yeah, quite fine. We had a pretty eventful week Dynamo-wise. We played 1 game since our last recording. We're gonna, of course, talk about it. We're gonna talk about what's coming up next and couple of other topics with it. So bear with us, and we shall start from another victorious outing by Shevkovsky's lads. So I didn't really watch the game that carefully. It was like in the background, so I can have some thoughts about it, but what about yours? Did you watch the game? Dima and Andriy, who wants to start?
Again, I was too busy to watch the game fully, but I did watch the extended highlights, so I pretty much know what happened.
I was able to watch the game, fortunately,
There we
and
go.
obviously very happy to have our win streak continue under Sasho. And shockingly, though, it was not a 2-goal victory. So my prediction of a 4-2 win was incorrect this time. So only 1 goal this game, but having a clean sheet is definitely good to see.
Yeah, that's
Yeah, it was
something
good.
new
It was
about
good, definitely. Sorry, Komar, to cut you off. Yeah, it was definitely good to have a clean sheet. The most interesting thing is that the person who scored the goal was Shepilev, and we will actually get onto him a bit more specifically, but I can't even remember the last time this guy scored. He was playing kind of, well, let's be honest, he was playing because Bujalski is injured. There's no really other reason why that is going on, but he had quite a few shots, and this was something that happened quite a few times during the game. I don't know if you guys noticed, but we saw a lot of shooting, and especially actually we saw a lot of shooting from outside the box. I feel like inside the box a lot of the players were what happened was, and this is something we've seen over the years, is a player gets the ball in a good and dangerous position, and then he just passes it to whoever, say, "Oh no, I'm not going to do it. You can do it." And then that kind of leads to the moment being wasted. But yeah, we did have a few good chances. I felt Van Aert as well. I felt Van Aert had a few chances to score, to be quite honest with you. But at least going forward, like it was something. Like again, it's something new. Like it's not something that we would have seen under the previous fossil extinct dinosaur of the manager. So yeah, but we did see quite a few defensive fuck ups again, to be honest with you. I can't remember who it was, but it might have even been Braharu, to be honest, but some Chornomorets player like launched the ball up to I think it was their number 10, like Iyede or whatever you call him. And Mikhavko had him, like it was like it right in front of him, but he just let it bounce. And it's literally like the most elementary thing. Like, do not, like, this is the stuff you get taught in school. Like, do not let the ball bounce. And like they almost had a shot. Well, actually, I felt like that was their most dangerous moment, to be honest with you. Where he kind of shot it into the corner. But they did have a few shots, although most of them seemed to go straight at Bushan. But yeah, I mean, it was kind of like you could almost say it's like a hard working win, because like we did have chances, but they weren't giving up, so to speak. And yeah, I mean, it's good to get these kind of wins sometimes. Oh, even Supraha had a long shot, which kind of really cements that point, doesn't it, about the players shooting from long when even he's having a go from distance. But yeah, probably over the course of the game, we did kind of deserve to win, to be honest with you. But I did feel like it could have been more, like it could have been a bit more comprehensive. But you know, it is good to at least get a clean sheet. Oh, and we were saying a few, was this 1 week or 2 weeks? I can't even remember now. That Shakhtar had that stupid game against those stupid idiots at Alexandria, who they drew the game, but then those idiots played a player who they forgot to register. So Shakhtar have now been awarded officially. Like the game ended 0-0, but Shakhtar have now been awarded the 3-0, like as an automatic technical victory, which, I mean, what kind of an idiot do you need to be to like let that happen, to not register a player? Like, this is something I would do in Football Manager, right? Sign some crazy good winger and then skip past his registration for the Champions League, and then him go unhappy and demand to leave the club. So I have to save scum. But anyway, I'm getting off topic. But yeah. And we will get onto that as well, of course, but that's just what I think.
Yeah, so about what you said, I think you raised some good points. Forgot what I was about to say, but I think that the fact we were like launching a lot of long distance shots derived from the fact that Sasha probably predicted that Črnomorec is going to use a deep block and just sit back and wait for the chances. So probably he felt decided to be a good idea to take our chances from distance and maybe then jump on a rebound, for example, which Shepeliev did from what I remember. Actually, it was a goalkeeper blunder who otherwise had a pretty good game, but still, you need to have a little bit luck and generate those situations to score, right? So I wouldn't say it was like a random goal or that we didn't deserve to win. We, of course, deserved to win. And yeah, second thing, I think like about bouncing the ball bouncing, I can recall quite a lot of goals that we conceded because of this bouncing. Especially, I think it was at the training camp we conceded like one or two goals like that. And last season, like the sprint part on the Luchescu.
Yeah, I don't know
So
what they're being taught, to be honest.
But
Defenders,
we
like.
didn't have the captain mediocrity the Diaczuk in the starting lineup, so
I mean,
like in
yeah,
this game we
I
didn't.
feel like you can correct, like I've said this before, but I feel like you can kind of correct this. Like, it's not going to be like at 30 years old. I know it's like a long stretch, but like at 30 years old, he's probably not still going to be doing that. But Diaczuk, with his stupid positional mistakes, is, I mean, it doesn't really seem to be getting better. And you just reminded me that I wanted to say that goal was so, like, I'm not saying we didn't deserve it, but that goal was so random. Like, that was such a crap cross, and then the goalkeeper literally like smashed it out to Shepilev. So I'm happy that his first, oh, I actually want to I don't even care. I'm gonna find when the last guy this last time this guy scored was, because like I honestly don't even remember. Like, he might have got an assist here or there, but goal, literally. I remember him scoring against Brugge in 2019, and I know he's probably scored since then, but it wasn't
Yeah, like you said, we're gonna go into
you just talk about
that
your thing, and
later.
I will. Oh,
Yeah.
hang on. He scored last year against Alexandria 3-1. Okay, that wasn't as far back as I thought. Although, that being said, that's not exactly, it's not really the most memorable game, is it?
No, but you have to win those games, right?
Yeah, oh no, of course you do.
I
Of course
think
you do. But that's why I don't remember it.
six in six. And we march on. It's a pretty
Sorry,
good
sorry.
series, right?
I just wanted to say about Shepilev as well. I'm looking at it from SofaScore, right? And I'm looking at his, like, because it's on the same page. as the like that game is on the same page as the Champions League qualifying games that season. Oh my God, what are these stats? So he scored 6.5, 5.9, 5.9, and 6.2 in those games. So it's literally yellow, red, red, orange. He's like a fucking broken traffic light, this guy. But anyway, I'm sorry. Carry on.
Yeah, so like I said, we have a pretty good stretch right now, 6 wins in 6 games. So, Andrei, unless you have something to add, I think we can proceed to the next section.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much same thing you guys said. The goal is definitely a bit dodgy, but not like we didn't deserve it. I feel like especially that first half, we looked the better side. I think things evened out a little in the second half. But overall, don't feel like we cheated them out of a win. So I'll take the 3 points and the dodgy goal.
Yeah, so far in the spring, all is good in Dynamo, except something we're gonna talk about later. Up to the next fixture, we got Veres Rivne in Rivne. So we play away and in front of the, so to say, hostile fans. So I hope the atmosphere gonna be pretty good because like. Various fans are always up to it. As for the difficulty of the game, yeah, Vares is not impressive lately. Pretty shaky defensively. So, well, I think it's not gonna be more difficult than Chernomorets, but it's the UPL, so you can expect pretty much everything. I will give it to you about your predictions, but firstly, I have some team news, so which are pretty interesting and a pretty big blow, to be honest. So, well, I think Brashko is not gonna be playing. Because he has too many yellow cards, I believe it's four, right? To be disqualified for one game. And this it is a big blow, so well, Sasha is
Andrievsky
gonna
time. It's going to be Andrievsky.
yeah, Andrievski and our fresh wonder kid, which his name is begins with Sh, right? So
Молодий та перспективний, as always.
Perspectively. And when it comes to injuries, I think we still won't see Bujarski, right? He's out for a couple of weeks with the muscle something. I'm not sure what that was. So probably we will see the same thing that we saw against Chernomorets because that showed that. Sasha doesn't really believe Cerenko can be starting that games, right? I'm not sure. Maybe he's gonna rotate, but yeah, that's what I'm feeling. And another thing that is pretty refreshing for our lineup is that Yarmolenko can be featured in this game. Of course, not as a starter, but maybe we'll see a cameo from him. So yeah, to sum it up, I expect like a comfortable 3-1 win because I don't really believe we won't concede because Veres sometimes does have the stretches of quality and they can score goals, then they just concede more.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, they're not a great side. They're literally second bottom. Only Minai are lower, and they literally hadn't won a game, right? Like they literally were one of the only sides in Europe. Like this was literally a thing that they hadn't won a game until last match day. And Minai can even like if they win their next game and Veres will lose to us, then Veres will go bottom. So, as far as I'm concerned, they're not a good side, to be quite honest with you. I don't really know much about their team, like in terms of their actual like squad, like players by names, et cetera, but I can see that they've in 18 games they've scored 16 and they've conceded 30. So obviously that gives them minus 14 goal difference. So if we fail to score against them, then that will be quite a struggle, really. But yeah, I think to concede them against them as well would be quite disappointing. But to your point about Tarenko, I'd actually like to see him in this because he's more of a like, listen, Shepilev, it's been 7 years. I still don't really know what kind of a midfielder he is. With Tarenko, you can kind of at least know what you're getting with him and like the kind of player he could turn out to be.
Yeah, maybe actually he will start because I forgot about this, like the Brashko thing that gives us a shift in midfield. So maybe it will be just a swap
I mean,
between
to be
those
honest with
players.
you, Shaparenko, Andreevsky, and Tsarenko is actually not too bad, to be honest with you. It's not too bad. It's not great, but it's not too bad.
Yeah, it should be very creative, right? Because they're gonna sit back and we need to create a
Exactly.
lot to
So I
just
don't know.
score and be comfortable.
That's what I would like to see, to be honest with you. I think the defense is probably, I would keep that the same, to be honest with you. Again, I've always said I quite like bloody, I almost call him Tarenko as well. Vivcharenko.
Vivtsarenko, right?
I quite like him. Excuse me. I feel like Karavaev kind of our hands are tied. I mean, like who else? What's that guy's name? Timchik. I don't even remember what he's called now. Timchik. Like he just, I don't even remember the last time he played. Not really a great player in my eyes. Neither is Karavaev, but you might as well just go with him. And then center of defense. Yeah, I don't want to see Dyachuk. I don't want to see Serotan. I don't want to see the really crap one. What's his Bilovar? See, these guys are so good that I don't even remember half of their names. An attack. Yeah, I feel like they'll go the same, but. Yeah, I think we're probably looking at another win, to be honest with you. It's in the UPL, right? Like you've got some teams that are actually kind of vying for it. Like the top six, I would say, are all actually generally quite good. And other than that, there's quite a drop off. But especially like the bottom like four or five teams are all literally dreadful. And Veras are certainly one of those teams. So yeah, we need to be aiming for a win, to be honest with you, to put it mildly. But yeah, it's about as much as I've got to say, to be fair.
I mean, to add on to that, I think like all of us, I predict a win here. If I had to predict a score, I'm gonna go with the usual 4-2 again. If we concede two to Zetas, that's pretty bad. So maybe Komar's prediction about 3-1 is more realistic. But yeah, they're not in the best form right now coming into this. They lost 2-0 to Kolos, who fair play to Kolos, they're a decent side, but I feel like they always score just like one goal a game and scored two against Veres, and then they lost to Vorskla this past weekend. So maybe their form will change against us, but hopefully not. Should be getting a win. And I also would like to see Tsarenko in, but I would not be surprised if we see Shepelyev and Andreevsky in there, just based off. I mean, looking at what the lineup was last week, I don't think we're gonna drop Shepelyev, but maybe Andreevsky stays on the bench. But I feel like he's a pretty reliable player. To be fair, he's not gonna give you too much, but he's also not the worst player of all time. So I guess we will see.
Yeah, okay, so I see we are all pretty confident. I hope we won't be let down by tomorrow because we are recording Wednesday. By the way, what a weird time to play UPL, right?
I don't understand why this is going on, to be honest.
Yeah, like imagine you're like the working class or even a guy. Of course, if you're not at the
I
front,
mean, how are you actually
and
supposed to watch that?
it's like 6 p.m. there, if I'm not mistaken. So just go barely from work, just go to the stadium, which is
Could be
kind of, it
worse,
can
but
happen, but it's I don't see it's comfortable in the situation.
and then the
Yeah, that's
next
it.
game is on Tuesday at an even earlier time. I think it's maybe 4:30 p.m. local time start.
Why though? Why?
It might have something to do with allowing time in case of air raid alerts.
True. I guess you've got to factor in this, to be honest, but yeah.
Other than
Well,
that,
I
I see
think
no reason
that
for it.
6 p.m. is the latest hour you can play. And because after that you have, you can have some breaks due to the raid alert, and then you have the how do you call it, police hour, right? You have to be curfew. Yeah, curfew. So yeah, it kind of makes sense, but they leave a lot of time to end this game despite the raid alerts, which can of course happen because sometimes the games lasted for like 3 hours. So yeah, we hope it won't come to that because it could be really exhausting for the fans and for the players, etc. But okay, so after whereas we have one more game before international break, which is Dynamo versus Zorya. We play at home, but I guess we'll talk about it in the next episode. So now on to the Dynamo related news. And I want to give this to Dima because the news of the week are our one of our best midfielders, Volodymyr Shepelyev, called also Shepelyev or by his Brazilian name Volodymyr, is getting a contract extension up until the end of the year 2025. What are your comments, Diva?
Well, my comments is that what we are just so predictable as a club. I mean, you both already know this, and maybe some people saw it, me tweeted that this out as well. But as soon as Ramadani got loaned back out to wherever he came from, I don't know.
Scandia.
Wherever that, And as soon as that happened, I tweeted out, "Do you know what I think this means? I think it means a new Shepelyev contract." And I think that was in like January. And here we are in March. And what do we see? A new Shepelyev contract. And I really did want to be wrong on that one, but sadly, I just know how these things work by now. I mean, what can you really say? Like the thing is, he started out pretty promising under Rebrov in I think it was in 2017, and he actually looked pretty good, pretty like bright and lively. But since then, he has just done literally nothing. Like, he's not cemented himself as a starter. We don't really know what his best like role is. We don't really know what kind of profile he is. And like, he does get he did like used to get the old odd like goal and assist here and there, but it in general it was very passive, backwards and sideways. You know, always just walking around on the pitch with like a blank face. It's just, I know it's not really the most important things, but it's just not a player that gets you excited. Even off the pitch, like you have an, like, you know, kind of big personalities, interesting, you know, interesting players, you know, active with the community. But this guy's just, he's just a nothing player, really, let's be honest. And this is kind of the thing. Like, this is why I don't really believe anything is changing, because you don't just give a new contract to someone who has done literally nothing in 6 years. And I'm sorry, but Shepelyev hasn't. He's done nothing in 6 years. And like, I get that it's, you know, like the squad will be short, but so what? So would you not rather sign a new player in that in his role? Which it's not really a big role, is it? Let's be honest. It's not. He's not exactly Shaparenko, even. someone like that. But yeah, it's just very predictable, and I don't really understand it. I mean, the guy's literally nearly 27 now, and if yeah, I it's just not for me whatsoever. I would have just let him go. We should have just let him go for me. And yeah, it's just a mediocre player. It's just a mediocre player. And in any other environment, right, you just if an employee, which is what he is, if an employee is not performing for a long period of time, you let them go, right? And I'm struggling to see why we didn't do that. But yeah, there's really so much I can say, you know, without just repeating the same old stuff I've been saying literally since the start of this, since maybe about 20. I started seeing it with him in like 2019, and I've been on it since then. I've not rated him since 2019, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, so yeah, I actually agree with you about like, yeah, pretty much everything. I think he was pretty mediocre. I don't think he brought anything at all to the squad in terms of quality. He was just like the player, like in Football Manager, you just put him there because you don't have like anyone else to fill the blank.
Well,
But
that's what's
being a
happening,
good
isn't it?
manager, yeah, you would like mean in Football Manager you would, but we had such situation in Dinamo sometimes that we literally didn't have anyone else to fill this position. But I really don't think he was like getting a lot of minutes in Dinamo because he was injured quite a lot, not recently, but yeah, right where. When you said he was beginning to fall off, like 2019, I believe he was sidelined for a long time. I'm not entirely sure, but it also may have something to do with him lowering his level, or at least not improving his level, because yeah, I remember that he was like introduced into the first team by Rebrov, and he was generally seen as a promising player. So, yeah, I don't think he deserves the contract, and I think we can end it at that because, well, our squad decisions are le leaving a lot to be desired. So. Yeah, so Abdri, do you have anything to add?
On this topic, not really. You guys
By
said
the way,
everything. Same.
I have got his injury history from Transfermarkt, which it's not always like 100% accurate, but it's pretty accurate. He's actually only missed about, but he's not really missed that much, to be honest with you. Like his longest injury was a back injury from May to June 2021, which is 52 days. Back in those times, though,
Yeah, so I
excuse me,
guess he
one of
was
these
just
did make sense
benched
to
a
me.
lot. Yeah, so
He
should
did
be.
nothing too major though, like 10, 19 days. Like the most games he's missed is three, so it's not. I wouldn't really even have that as a factor, to be honest with you. I don't know. It's just like something died within him, you know. Like he just stopped doing literally any kind of anything that would make him stand out. If that will make, but yeah, it's just predictable and a stupid decision which no serious institution would ever make, to be honest with you. But yeah, and I don't care if he scored a goal, by the way. I could have scored that goal, for what it's worth. If that's what I actually, I think that was before he scored the goal that was signed. So yeah, but anyway.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so I think we exhausted like the more important dynamic news by that by the contracts for Shepeliev part, but we have a couple of so to say rumors because these are not serious news, but nevertheless, I would like to comment on that, and I would like you to comment on that. First one, I believe Dima, you brought it up that Dinamo refused to pay Alexandria's motivational money for drawing with Shakhtar, which is hilarious for me, because we all know there is this mechanism that the richer clubs are stimulating those, so to say, poorer clubs to perform better against Shakhtar slash Dynamo slash whatever you whoever you want. But it's just hilarious that the circus pulled Scrooge McDuck with this one. I can't think of a better analogy. But this duck from a comic book, which I liked very much when I was a kid.
No, it's a brilliant comic, it's a brilliant show, you're right. But it's just a bit unserious, really, isn't it? Like it's already a stupid practice. It wasn't me, by the way. I think it might have been Andri. But I'm just gonna say quickly, I just think it's quite unserious, to be honest. I don't think it should be happening anyway. Like winning should be your priority anyway. Like forget money from big clubs, right? What are you a footballer for if you're not giving it 100% to win? Especially against a big side. Like that's just a general mentality issue, I would say, within the football we have. But I think Andriy should speak more about this because he's literally the one that sent this over.
Yeah, I honestly don't want to say much about it, but my two quick points are first that I don't want to say much because I don't need to add fuel to the fire for the certain haters trying to smear our club. But no pun intended there. And my second point is pretty much what Dima said, is that you shouldn't need extra money to motivate you as a football player. I mean, especially. I mean, I think this goes for any European league, but a Ukrainian football player, you're making more money than the average person in your country. If you need extra money to motivate you to win a game in your league, then I don't know, that's pretty pathetic in itself. So, but yeah, this is the Ukrainian Premier League, so this is what happens.
Yeah, so it kind of speaks for itself, right? I won't add anything and to that. And another even more absurd thing was voiced by Oleksiy Honcharenko, the deputy from Poroshenko's bloc, which was that there are plans to sell Dynamo to an ex counselor of President Zelensky, and he when it like spread in the internet, he immediately pulled it and said that he just heard in some people that know people, which I don't think it demands a lot of comments, but if you want, we can talk a brief minute about this.
I mean, if the sale was to happen to this person who they said it would be in the rumors, then I have a lot of questions about, first of all, where the money's coming from, and second of all, what they plan to do. But I think the biggest thing to be said here is that he was pretty much backtracking his statement just a few hours after it went public, so.
I mean, it's probably like something like Timoshenko like joked about it, like, oh, I'll buy Dynamo, and that's probably all that happened. But it's just, yeah, it just doesn't really seem feasible at all, to be honest with you. The only thing is, like, I don't really, because obviously Ukrainian politics are quite dirty, to say the least. And I don't really know how much money this guy has. It wouldn't really surprise me if he had enough money to buy Dynamo, to be honest with you. But yeah, it's just doubtful. But to be honest with you, I'm open to selling it to anyone with half a brain who isn't a dinosaur like villager Soviet mentality. Not naming any names, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, so enough about rumors. There's one more rumor to talk about, but I believe you, Andriy, said that it annoys you a lot, so we won't talk about this. So we will talk about something that was actually published. So we have some rosters to discuss, at least Dynamo players that are there, or just signalized. So I believe U17s, U19s, U21s, and U23 Zbirnas are in action soon, and we have Kamo players in the ranks.
Yeah, I guess we can quickly go through some of them. I won't name everyone, but on the U17 squad, there are five Dynamo players represented, and they actually played today against Greece and won 2-0. And one of our midfielders, Ledushko, scored. Haven't been able to see him play at all, but I have heard good things about him. So maybe that's a name to keep in the back of your mind for a few years down the road. U19s, I believe there were four Dynamo players, I think three defenders, and then Ponomarenko. And then I think for U21s, we have Nesheret, as well as Voloshin. And I think there might have been, oh, Vyacherenko as well. I think those are the only three on the U21 squad. And for the Olympic roster, I just saw a bunch of Rotan's Alexandria boys there. So I think I didn't even bother looking through it in much detail. So I'm not even sure if we would have anybody on that squad.
Yeah, and we still don't know the seniors Birna squad, so just leave it for another episode. So I want to ask about your Twitter handles because I know you didn't want them to be disclosed. I just want to say that you can reach us at them on abroad on X, and you can also send us an email on dynamoabroad@ gmail.com. And from all of us at Dynamo Abroad, we thank you for listening and we'll see you next time.